You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries right here in Stuart, Florida, welcoming you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome and greet all you listeners wherever you're at, if you're on the radio, if you're on a computer. We just greet you and we hope you'll be blessed with what you hear today, not because of Don and I, but because it's going to be about the Word of God. So we welcome you to the program. We just had a wonderful completion of the 17th Annual Bible Reading Marathon on Wednesday. So Pastor Don, tell me a little bit about some things that happened there. And it was so wonderful to meet people. And Don had a lady she was talking about earlier about, her name is Kim, that her mom was not well. And
no,
so,
that was Stacy, I think.
Oh, Stacy, okay.
No, that was Maria, I think. Okay. Oh, I met so many people. I think it was Maria, but anyways, Maria.
But that was so good. We met people we'd never seen before, and they were so excited, and they came from the radio program.
Radio program, yes, and Kim also came from the radio program. And they said they had heard about it, I guess many times, over the years. And, Maria said, she says, "Well, I'm going to go over there." And then Kim, she didn't read, but she came and brought her mom, and she listened. And we talked, and we had a good time there, a fellowship. It was,
yes,
it was good.
Yes, wonderful.
And then Kim came, and she read a lot. She came a couple of times, and we had a nice talk too, and I just thank the Lord that God's going to totally heal her.
Yes.
That arthritis, and no, she will not need any kind of surgery in Jesus' name. So, we met a lot of people, a lot of nice people, a lot of some new people, and got to see some people we don't see, all the time that come from time
That's
to time
right.
that come to the Bible Marathon, mm-hmm. and it was a really wonderful time, and even the rain, you know, even with all the rain
all
we
the rain
had,
we had, yes.
We got a little wet, and it was like it came in gusts, you know. It came in gusts. And the thing that kind of touched me was it would rain, and then the flags. You know, we had 12 flags there, right, for the mm-hmm. government, every state for the government. 12 is a number of government, and so they would get wet, and then they would dry.
So they got washed several times.
They'd get wet and they'd get dry.
Wash the grounds too.
Over and over and over again. I said, you know, maybe it happened for as many states as we have. It probably did as much as it rained. But I thought, you know, let every state, every city, every county, every neighborhood be soaked with the Word of God.
Yeah.
And let there be a cleansing of the land. That's what God wants to do. He wants to cleanse the land and also for the protection of the
Hallelujah.
Land. And so I just thank God that we were obedient and we followed through with being obedient, and because, you know, I would really feel bad if something terrible happened.
And we hadn't read the Bible.
This year, and we hadn't done it because, you know, I believe that God's Word continues to say it'll be protection for our
and to cover
for
us.
For our nation,
right.
from terrorism. And we need to pray, and we need that protection. We need to pray for our president, and also awesome starting on Veterans Day. We haven't always started on Veterans Day, but I think it's just an ideal time to start.
Last 2 years we have, yes.
Start on Veterans Day and at that time. So it's always going to be on Veterans Day, November the 11th. And I know some people say, some people came, like Lydia, she came the week before to read, and she calls me, where's everybody, you know? It's not Veterans Day yet.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But it was really marvelous, and I just thank God for everything. There's so much. I just thank Him for everything, for everything.
Everybody that helped.
Everything was provided for.
That's right. Everybody that read, And I'm thinking about Kim there, Pastor Don, needs a healing. This word's for you, Kim, if you're listening. The Bible says God sent His word and healed you.
Amen.
So receive that word.
And Amen.
You heard the word now. There are a lot
of
them.
She heard the word. She read the word. She spoke the word.
Hallelujah.
And praise God.
So it was a wonderful time, wasn't it, Pastor Dow? Really. And we did have a lot of rain. But
that one day, when we went into the New Testament,
it was like
in the afternoon, and it was starting to, the sky got so absolutely beautiful. And the band shell, it's got these different colors in it, pink and orange and yellow.
It looks like
a big rainbow. Looks like, not a rainbow, but it looks like a beautiful sky, you know, when it's all painted. Like, well, the sky, the natural sky, we looked out there and there were the clouds, and they looked like angels, and there was pink.
Yeah.
Pink and rose color and blue, all through the sky.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, God's happy. I says, God's happy. We have this clear, beautiful, sunny day, and we were starting in the New Testament, and all of a sudden the skies just opened up, you know, and you felt like there was a breakthrough.
Right.
You know, people need breakthroughs even in their life.
Hallelujah.
Our nation needs a breakthrough. People need a breakthrough because at first, you know, it was dark and cloudy, and that can be like a heaviness. People get darkness and cloudiness, and where they can't really see. They can't really see the clearness that God is going to bring to our life when we just, there's got to be a breakthrough. But but there's also got to be a pushing through. And sometimes the pushing through
is
the hard part.
That's right.
It's not easy. And it can be difficult. But, you know, as you do it one step at a time, a little bit here, a little bit, all of a sudden you just feel that release.
That's right.
And there's a breakthrough. So
that's right.
I also want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We meet Friday night at 7 p.m. And we also meet on Sunday at 11 a.m. So if you'd like to come and visit us, I'm going to give you the phone number, and you can give us a call. And I want to thank all the people that had encouraging words. A lot of encouraging words, and many texts. People text me and thank me, and even thanked us for doing this. And, you know, everybody knows it's a labor of love.
It has to be
a labor of love.
Uh-huh.
And it's the love of really God's word. And being obedient to the call that God has called people to do, because a lot of things God calls you to do is not easy, you know. But He makes it simple.
He makes the way.
He makes a way. So I just want to give our phone number here if anybody would like to come visit or they want to call, or if anybody would like to help support this radio broadcast, you can call us. And we're also on the internet, WCNO.com. You can listen to us again, or you can listen to some other teachings that we've done in the past. So our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And you know what? The one thing I was sorry about is that we did go home to go to bed at night, that I didn't get to see the night people.
Yeah.
And some like the roaches, I didn't get to see them. There's a lot of people that came. I didn't get to see or talk to.
Kay Holly, I can think of too.
Didn't get to see Kay. And Kay, she came 5:30 every day.
And the Ward family came also.
Read for an hour. And the Ward family, I didn't get to see them. Because anybody who came like after 9 o'clock, I didn't get to see them. So that was kind of sad, you know, that we didn't get to see those people and talk to those people. But, you know, God knows. They know we love them.
Think about the first year we did it. We slept about 10 or 12 hours the whole time because we wanted to stay down there all the time. Well, we were exhausted when that was over.
Not really.
Yeah, but we were exhausted.
We were exhausted because we were getting on an airplane the next day to go to Israel.
That's right.
That's what exhausted us because we had to get
slept all the way. Yeah.
Oh,
but
dear.
Anyway, we were so good. So anyway.
So anyways, thank you so much, everyone, and thank you for you that pray for us. But you know, we thank the Lord for His Word, and that's what we want to talk about is God's Word. And that the love that God has for us.
One other thing I was going to think about before we start this with the Word, honey. A young lady, a sister that we've known for years, she asked me if she could pray for me up on the stage before she left after she read.
Mm-hmm.
She laid her hands on me and she prayed. It was one of the special prayers that I've ever had prayed over me. And I'll tell you, we both felt the anointing. I mean, if I wasn't sitting in a chair, I might have fell out up there on the platform.
Wow, I didn't know
and
that.
So it was very precious. So if she's listening, she'll know who it is.
Amen.
And I just want to thank her for being obedient to the Lord. So we're going to talk about the Word today, aren't we, honey?
God's Word.
His Word. Now,
every word is true.
That's right. Every single word
is holy. Every word is pure.
Right.
And, you know, His pure, holy Word went forth from people.
Every single word. We didn't miss one word.
Not one word. A couple times the wind, because it would pick up a few pages. And somebody, I remember Joshua one time, he said, oh, they missed a chapter.
We had to turn the wrong chapter.
We had to go back and pick it up. But you know what?
God was hurrying us through, but not that way. But anyway, it was good.
You know,
but I was thinking, though, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I read a lot of the verses out of Psalm 119 about the law and also about the Word. And I was just thinking about one, and then maybe I want to share something out of the New Testament. And Donna's got something for you, too, I know. This is in Psalm 119. It's under the Hebrew letter Nun, and it's in verse 105.
119.
And we used to share this with the kids when we taught in children's church years ago down in Fort Lauderdale. It says, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So with those two lamps, you know, a light and a lamp, we can walk through this life and we'll have no stumbling. We'll do exactly what God wants us to say, to do, where to go, and all the rest of it. Because you think about it, if somebody was out in the dark woods and they couldn't see where they were going, the Bible says this, thy word is a lamp. So you have a lamp that shines on your feet. But with just a lamp only, you could still run into a tree or something else if you're in the woods. But if you have a lamp under your feet to watch your path, and then you also have a light that shines in front down the path to show you where to go, you won't stumble. And so this is what the Word wants you to know about this. That's what God wants you to know. The Word is a lamp under your feet to show you where you're going, and also what? To be a light into the path of your life to show you what God would have you to know and to keep you safe. So it is. It's a powerful, powerful Word. So I thought this was important. Another one that caught my eye, just a real quick one here, is also now is under the Hebrew letter Sheen, okay? And this is in verse 165 of Psalm 119. It says, great peace, listen to this, great peace have they which love thy law, or what's the law? The Torah, the teaching, instructions of God. And listen to this, and nothing shall offend them.
Wow.
So in no way, shape, or form, if we're walking in the Torah and the Word of God, we should never be offended about anything. But people do get offended. And Jesus said, offenses will come. But the question is, what will we do with the offenses when they come? Amen?
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
So I'm going to take you over the New Testament now. I was thinking about this morning a little bit.
While you're going there, I'm going to look at one for this year.
Okay, you want to go ahead and read that one first?
It's also in Psalm 119.
Okay.
It's the het, the number, the eighth letter.
Uh-huh.
Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words.
Mm-hmm.
And we're to keep his written word.
Hallelujah.
And we're to keep the spiritual words that God speaks to us, doesn't he? Because his spiritual, those words he gives us to our heart. It also says here in the next verse, he says, I entreat thy favor with my whole heart. We want to please the Lord with our whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word.
Yes.
See, his word is his word is kept in heaven, isn't it?
Sure is.
His word is kept in heaven. And so to keep the word of God with your whole heart. God speaks to your heart.
Absolutely.
And so to keep it, it's our portion.
Hallelujah.
And so, whoa, thank you, Father God. And we want to We want to please the Lord. We want to be obedient.
In everything
to keep His word. Amen?
That's right.
And we hope in His word. So the words that went forth from down there, it says over here in another place, He says, I hope in thy word.
Yes.
So we hope in the words of the Lord that it will be done, what the prophetic word says. Then the Lament says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Sure
it's
is.
Settled in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Thank you, Father God. Though, and you said about it being a light, and it's our hope.
That's right.
See, we hope in the word of God. We hope in the prophetic words of God that God gives us too. Because His word is his righteousness.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And so when we're obedient, we're keeping His word, and we're doing the righteous thing. We're being righteous because we're obeying the Lord.
That's right, absolutely.
For thy word, thy righteousness.
Hallelujah.
And for thy word of thy righteousness. Thank you,
so Lord. His word is for our benefit.
You know how many times it talks about the word in this Psalm 119?
Yeah.
Many times. Many times. His word is mentioned.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to talk about something, honey, in the New Testament in Mark chapter 4. Now we've heard this and read this. Most people always go to Matthew chapter 13. But this is what Mark wrote down about the sower of the seed. And we're going to find out this is all about what? The word. The word. And what is the soil? I'm going to read the parable, and then Jesus is going to explain some of it. But what he's talking about is the word goes into it's like seed going into the soil. And what's going to happen? Things will be produced, and plants will grow, or crops will grow. So when the word of God goes into us, if we receive it the right way, and we don't let the cares of life and everything come, well, then it's going to begin to mature in us. It's going to come to fruition, and it's going to help us to grow and walk a new way. So I'm going to start at chapter 4, verse 1. And you interject whenever you want here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1, and he began, who's the he? Yeshua, began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and set in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. So he was out in a boat speaking to the people up on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. Here it says, his doctrine. Not our doctrine, but his.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Matthew 13 doesn't say that. Hearken, he says, behold, there went out a sower to sow. So here's somebody going to sow some seed, right? And it came to pass, as he sowed some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And what? Immediately, huh? And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit.
Mm.
And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and bringeth forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, Yeshua, he that hath ears to hear,
yes,
let him hear. Let him hear this parable. And we're going to find out later, he mentioned that if we don't understand this parable, he told his disciples that, we wouldn't understand any of the other parables that he told. All right? Now, verse 10, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And we have that same privilege, because we're born again, have the Spirit of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Boy, that's pretty powerful. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This was spoken over in Isaiah chapter 6, I think, that Jesus spoke of. Now, verse 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? And if you don't know this, you won't know the rest of them. Now, he's going to give the explanation. This is one of the parables. He gives the whole explanation. Now, listen, we're going to find out why they had a problem with this. The sower soweth what? The word. So
Amen.
So you and I that are born again, we are word sowers. The Bible Marathon was a word sower.
That's right.
The word was being cast out like seed onto the ground.
Glory.
Many people received it and had things happen. They understood in a deeper realm and all that, and it helped them with their walk with the Lord.
And His word is a rock.
That's right.
And we gave away rocks, didn't we?
We gave rocks this year with scriptures on them.
With scripture on it, right?
Right.
Psalm 138:2, mm-hmm. which Mary made these rocks, and
right.
she wrote on these rocks. And so that was, see, the Lord gave her that. Another
mm-hmm.
lady that goes to our church, the Lord spoke to her about putting a large rock on the table. There's a large rock. It represents, you know, the rock. He is our rock, and the rock
right.
is the word.
You got it.
Woo!
So He says, the sower soweth the word. That's you and I. Jesus was doing it in His day. Now, and there are they, I'm sorry, and these are they by the wayside
mm-hmm.
where the word is sown. Hear it? The word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan, listen to this, Satan cometh immediately
yes.
and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, people go to church many times, they hear a wonderful message that comes out of the word of God, and when they leave, they can't remember two or three things that person was teaching on because their mind was somewhere else. And so we have to receive it, because what happens? Satan wants to steal everything that we would receive from God. When we used to teach children's church, we used to talk about this verse a lot. I said, we'd say, now we're going to teach this to you today. And we'd put things on the blackboard and explain things. And I said, when we leave here, remember, Satan's going to come as a thief in the night. He wants to come and steal this word that you were given tonight so you won't remember it. So we want to try to remember these things, don't we, Pastor Donna? Now let's go on. It says it was taken away. The word was taken away because Satan came. Now verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, okay?
The word,
immediately receive it with gladness. Many people do. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, hear this? Or
yeah.
question the word, argue about translations and all this, argue when the word's, for the word said, immediately what? They are, here we go, are offended. We just read over in Psalm 119, when we know the Torah and the law, we will not be offended, right?
That's right.
Now let's go on. Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Here's the word again. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches.
Mm.
This is in Mark. I like this compared to Mark 13. And the lust of other things entering in, whoa, choke the word, here, choke the word, and it becometh what? Unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word again, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold.
Mm.
Whew. And then He said this unto them in verse 21, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? And not to be set on a candlestick. The light, huh? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but it should come abroad, He said. Now, I love this. Let's go on. If any man, listen to this, if any man, any person, have ears to hear, let him hear. And He said unto them, take heed what you hear with. Let me read it again. I left something out. Take heed what ye hear. A semicolon now. With what measure ye meet or receive or hear it, huh? It shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So the more we hear and receive, what? It's not going to be taken away. More is going to be given. For he that hath, it says in the next verse, to him shall be given what? Even more. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath, what he thinks he has.
Mm-hmm.
So verse 26, and He said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed onto the ground, and it should sleep, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and give up, or grow up, I should say, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So He says, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it. It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than it than all the seeds in the earth. But when it is grown, when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So he's explaining all this about the word. Now, Jesus started off with a parable about a farmer. People sowing seed to grow crops. And then he relates it in a spiritual sense. And so the Word of God, remember, you could just go down, like a lot of people read at the Bible Marathon, we could just read the words and just pass over it. But the thing is, he wants us to think on those things, okay, and meditate on those things, get it in our heart, and what's going to happen? There's going to be a growth that's going to come into your heart about the things of God that you never understood before. And so we can understand those parables because Jesus told them right here. You've been given the privilege to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You and I that are born again, especially those that are spirit-filled, we should have the privilege, and we do have the privilege, to understand the parables and the things that Jesus talked about so that we can grow up and mature. And Jesus talked a lot in parables. He didn't tell them directly. But here the disciples and all asked him to explain this particular one. And it's amazing how he explained it. He told them what it was. And so to keep that in mind, now we've talked about Mark 4. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 13 now. And I want to show the tail end of this and what Jesus had to say about this that we don't have in Mark chapter 4. So I'm over in Matthew chapter 13 now. Okay?
Matthew 13.
I'm going to start in verse 36.
Okay.
This is after the same parable that we just read, but it's done a little bit different, but it's still bringing the same truth. Verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, the disciples, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he talked about that, the tares, which are what? The wicked people, and the good seed is the good seed. So it's like talking about the seed of God and what? The darnel or the tares that come.
The evil.
The evil one.
The wicked one.
He's going to tell you what this means now, okay? Now, we read verse 36. Verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Who is that? That's Yeshua.
Jesus.
He sows the seed. He sowed the seed in me when I got born again. Amen. I received it, and I became born again, and I asked him to come into my heart. Now, listen to this. Next thing. The field, and he had a lot of parables talking about the field. The field is always referring to the world.
The world.
The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. He's talking about the Jews. His audience here are the Jewish people at that particular time, are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one, which is the devil. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man, whoosh, shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things, here we go again, that what? Offend. How were they offended? We just read that in Mark chapter 4. They were offended by the word of God. They don't want, you know, some things, they want the good things, but they don't want to hear the other things. And you know, it tells us in Romans chapter 11 that God, his word is what? There's a goodness of God, and there's what?
Severity.
Severity of God. So we have to obey his word. So they were offended, really, by the word. And them which do iniquity. Verse 42, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, that's hell. That's what it is. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the son of the kingdom of their father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. What an incredible parable. So he tells you all the details of all of it. And so certain things will be mentioned over and over in other parables. And when we understand this, then we won't be fooled by what God's telling us about these things.
So it's important for us to hear the word of God. And I'm just going to mention this because I've said this before, maybe not lately, but you know, when we're reading the word of God, it's good to read it out loud, because when you're reading it and you're just following, reading with your eyes, you know, you're reading it in your mind, but you're not hearing it.
That's right.
So you really aren't hearing it. So if when you read something, when you read the Word of God out loud, you're not only receiving it through your eyes, but you're receiving it in your ear, through your ears.
That's right.
Because your ears are here and your mouth is speaking it. So you're opening, you're using, look at this, you're using your mouth, you're speaking the Word of God, and you're also hearing the Word of God, but you're hearing the Word of God with your own mouth.
Your own voice, yeah.
Your own voice, yeah. Your own voice. And that's what I love about, one thing I love about the Bible Reading Marathon is you hear the Word of God with many voices.
That's right.
All these voices, and I think about the voices, all the voices of God that are reading this living Word.
And it's the same word. It's not something else. They all read the same word, don't they?
Because we read out of the same
That's
Bible.
That's right, out of the same Bible.
One Bible.
Now, Romans chapter 10 says that faith cometh
by hearing
and hearing
by
the Word of God.
By the Word of God.
That's an interesting verse. I'm going to go and keep on.
So you're hearing it with your own voice. And, you know, if people would get that revelation of the power of that, of hearing your own voice speak, because everyone's voice is different, and everyone's voice is like a trumpet.
That's right.
It's, you know, you have a voice box, you know, you only have one voice box. Mm-hmm. We don't have two, like we have two ears and
That's
two
right.
eyes, we have one. And so it's a trumpet, and you know, we think about the trump of God, and the Bible talks about the trump of God. Mm-hmm. The trumpet of God is God's voice. So we are, whoa!
That's right.
Whoa, God's mouthpiece. Mm-hmm. We're his trumpet, and we are declaring, and we are reading, and we are declaring and speaking God's word. We're speaking what God says.
That's right. That's it.
You know, Moses reiterated in Deuteronomy all of the other books. He said the whole thing all over again.
Repeated.
They needed to hear it all over again. And we need to hear ourselves speaking the word of God over and over again. Until it's not just something that's in our mind or something we memorize, but it's in our heart.
Yes.
It's living. It's in our heart. It's beating like your heart beats.
You got it.
Whew.
That's what keeps us alive. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But I took you over to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to look at this with you. Verse 17 says this. So then faith, and this is talking about heart faith, cometh by hearing, and hearing by, here's the word, of God. If you look this word up in the New Testament here, it's the word rhema. So we could say it this way, it's a living word. So then heart faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the living word of God. That's how I came to the Lord too. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's
how we come. Say it. The word is nigh thee.
That's right.
Even in thy mouth. Mm-hmm. This is verse 8.
That's 18.
Verse 10:8.
Oh, 10:8.
But what saith? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the
word
of faith which we preach.
Hallelujah.
Which we speak.
We keep hearing about the word, don't we?
Now we're talking about salvation. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. So you have to open your mouth to confess. You don't just do it with your mind. The Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart. Not your mind, in your heart.
Heart.
That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart,
this means heart faith now.
Believeth
mm-hmm.
unto righteousness, and with the, here's your mouth again, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
That's it.
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Hallelujah. That's right.
Wow. Thank you, Father.
And he
God.
Says, for there is no difference between what? The Jew and the Greek. God wants all. He's not
That's
willing
right.
any would perish. He wants all to come to repentance.
For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name.
That's right.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord
shall be saved. Saved from what? Their sins, we know, that's the most important thing, but saved from the wrath that's going to come at the end, huh?
Mm-hmm. And you read the scripture, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Well, look at verse 14 also. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have to believe, don't they, by
yes.
faith. And how shall they believe in him or whom they have not heard, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Mm-hmm.
And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, Lord,
who
hath believed our report? And then he tells them right there, So that what? So that then that faith, heart faith, cometh by hearing. Hearing what? By hearing the living word of God, the Rhema word. Isn't that incredible? So this Bible we have in front of us has got the Logos word, the written word that God gave. But there's a Rhema word that comes off of every single page in this Bible. Yeshua's signature is on every page.
Every page.
He's giving us living words, living words, living words all the time. And some of you have heard me talk about this. If we go over to Matthew chapter 4.
It's a word of truth.
That's what it is.
It's the word
It'll
of truth.
It'll always be the truth. It cannot be anything but the truth because he said so. All right?
So chapter 4. So you know, Pastor Gene, so anyone who has read this word of truth,
yeah,
whether they're saved or not, his word's not going to return void.
That's it.
Because it's the word of truth that they have spoken with their mouth.
That's right.
And what if somebody reads the word of truth with their mouth out loud and they hear it? They can get saved.
You sure can.
How else will they get saved? So, you know, it's the word of truth that brings salvation. Where are we going?
I'm going to go over here to Matthew chapter 4.
Matthew chapter 4.
So we have to hear the word, don't we? We hear the word. We hear the word. We hear the word.
That's right.
That's what's going to...
It's the food. It's
That's
our
right.
food.
That's right. Now, we know that after Jesus was water baptized and the dove came down, the Holy Ghost came down upon
right.
him and all that. Well, then it tells you in verse 17 of chapter 3, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit, huh? Into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So you can read how he was tempted in four different ways, just like we are, with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Same thing Adam and Eve was tempted with. He was also, but he overcame. But I like verse 4. This is for you and I today about the living word. But let's read 3 with it. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Well, if he would have done that, he would have been ineligible to be the Messiah. If he missed it anyway, he could have not been the Messiah.
He was obedient.
Now, verse 4. But he answered, look what he said to
Jesus
them.
Jesus said,
it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, let's tear this apart a little bit. It's real simple here.
Thank you, Lord.
Look at this. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Now, this word here is the same word we talked about over in Romans chapter 10. It's the word rhema.
Every living word.
Every living word that proceeded. Now, this is a verb in the present tense in the Greek language, and it means to be continuous. So we could say this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Living word that continually proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how we have to live. We have to listen to him. Let him tell you who you're going to marry. What job are you going to take? Are you going to move or are you going to stay where you are? What's God asking you to do? You got to sit down with him and say, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's the hard part.
That's what God says.
That's what he says. That's what's important. So this is very
important.
Jesus
wasn't moved by his feelings.
No,
he wasn't moved by the lies that Satan was telling him.
That's right.
The tempter came. The tempter does come.
Mm-hmm.
To what? To steal,
kill and destroy.
What's he want to kill? What's he want to steal?
That's right.
Our joy, for one thing.
In our life.
And the plans and the plans that God has for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to steal. And once he steals, he starts to kill. And then things get destroyed.
That's right.
But, you know, he went on also. He just didn't quit aggravating and tempting the Lord.
That's it.
The devil continued.
That's
he continued mm-hmm. to say things to him, to try to get him to persuade him, to get him to move a different way, to change his mind. You know, he spoke to him, and you know Jesus said again. He says, "It is written." He said again, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God."
So he didn't give him his opinion.
To say that.
That's right.
He continued to say that.
That's
and,
right.
You know, praise the Lord. And I like he's in verse 10, he says, get thee hence. In other words, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
Amen. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So we're serving the Lord. We serve the Lord, and we serve the Lord in the things that he's called us to do. And, you know, some of the things he calls us to do, they're not easy. And he never said he was going to make it easy, you know. It's not apple pie, cherry pie. It's not your favorite dessert. No, it's maybe something you don't even like doing, Well, does that make it, does that take your joy away? No, it depends on the attitude of your heart.
That's right.
If you're going to lose, you're going to lose your joy or not over something, you know? So, but when we die to ourselves, it's like, you know, Jesus was really, he was ready to die to himself.
That's right.
He was ready to die, to give up his life. He didn't care about his life. He didn't care about his feelings. He didn't care about anything except being obedient to the will of God and doing what God said and saying what God said. It wasn't his thoughts, his you know, decisions. He had already made his decision to do everything God had called him to do.
Hallelujah.
So he wasn't swayed or persuaded by the devil at all, or even man, because he also told Peter, "Get behind me," when the enemy spoke through Peter. You see, he wasn't mad at Peter.
That's right.
No, he wasn't mad at Peter. Peter may have said something that wasn't right.
He knew what was behind
it. He didn't dwell on it. He didn't let it bother him. He just, you know, he knew it wasn't Peter that was, you know, really coming against him.
Hallelujah.
He didn't get his feelings hurt. Mm-mm. No, he just spoke to the enemy, and because he says, he wasn't going to let the Satan steal anything that God had for him.
That's right.
Doesn't it say it was his joy?
Yeah.
To give up his life?
Sure was. He said he counted all joy, didn't he?
And he counted all joy.
And why? Because look what happened after his death, burial, and resurrection. Millions of people came into the kingdom of God because of what? Jesus, it was his life for all of them. To exchange,
you know, I think about the
him.
Time, Pastor Gene, when we used to minister over in Monterey.
You're right, here
with Missy. And, you know, there were a lot of things that we did over there that we didn't like doing. I mean, there was some dirty stuff over there.
That's right.
I mean, it was a poor, poor neighborhood, poor children. And there were a lot of things that we did that we really wouldn't have liked doing. There was a lot of kids that we put in our car that, you know, just really smelled really bad. But, you know, it didn't... It didn't stop us from doing it. No. But it actually humbled us.
Sure did.
Because when you and I would start complaining to each other about it, we realized that we were wrong. We didn't have the right heart.
That's right, we didn't.
We didn't have the right heart.
Kids were important.
He had to show us those things, and we had to experience those things, those stinky things. You know, I'm talking about things that really stink, you know.
Yeah.
You have kids that are really dirty, you know. They have stuff on them that doesn't smell good many times.
That's right.
And so, you know, God humbled us, and we did it. And you know, we pressed through, and it came to the point where when some of those kids would get in the car, I didn't even smell it.
That's right.
You know, and the things that we did. But it was because God loves those children. They can't help that they're in that kind of situation.
That's right, they can't.
They can't. So to have somebody come in and to be able to bless them and help them and give them things and feed them and give them the word of God, you know, it's a good thing. It's good.
And we enjoyed doing it. I really enjoyed doing it. We picked up all those kids in our van, more than we should have had in there, and they were all waiting out in front of their houses when we come down the street. And we were in a rec center over there in Fort Lauderdale.
We couldn't even seatbelt them. We had so many in there.
We
were kind of illegal.
Yeah. We didn't have to go too far, thank goodness. But they all were out. They wanted to go to that meeting that we had every Saturday with those kids.
And I remember one kid came up one time, and he smelled so bad that you told the Lord that the Lord told you to go minister to that boy, and you said, "Oh God, I can't do that." And the Lord said, if you can't minister to him, then...
You can't minister to anybody for me.
You can't minister to... Don't minister to me.
And the funny thing about that, Pastor Dow, that morning, that boy, I finally went over to him after the Lord really nudged me. And so, because he walked out of the meeting, so I went outside with him, and I talked to him about the Lord and how important he was to God. He was 12 or 13 years old, or maybe 14. He walked back into the meeting and sat down. And when the lady that preached the message that morning had the altar call, he was the first one that stood up and held up his hand that he wanted to receive Jesus Christ.
That's
so
right.
What if I wouldn't have done that?
That's right.
What if I wouldn't have done that?
And, you know, you fell in love with some of those kids.
Sure did.
One of those little boys we brought home many times.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised because, I mean, you don't know what it's like to live in a neighborhood.
Well, we found out how he lived, didn't we? How bad it was.
And yeah, I know. It was really sad.
I would have adopted him in a moment of time
and
raised him up. And he was what, about 10 years old at that time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we
had a heart after God.
I could tell you stories about that, but we don't have time for that now.
But see, it's what the Word did. So I went out and shared the word with him. Not what I thought. I told him what the Bible said about who he was and how important he was.
How much God loved him.
And so then when he came back in and heard the rest of the message, well, he heard some more things about the Spirit of God, how God wanted to touch everyone, you know. And so he stood up and accepted Christ that morning. So I mean, it's amazing how God works. And so, you know.
Thank you, Father.
The word's for everybody. That's why it says he sent his word out to heal us. And he said it would never return void. It would accomplish that which he pleases. And it will accomplish wherever he sends it. So we send it out and it affects people's lives. And that young man, it affected him. And you know, the weeks after that, he kept coming on Saturday to those meetings. And so there was, God did something in his heart. And so I wonder where he is today, you know, with all the troubles they have in the world and all that. But it was just wonderful to see what God...
The word won't return void.
It won't return void.
And that's why we continue to do this Bible reading marathon. Even though, you know, the years have gone by and we're not as young as we were 17 years ago.
That's right.
But you know what? God is not looking at our age or our health or anything else. He's only looking at our obedience.
That's
and,
it.
You know, even if we drop dead doing it over there, I would drop dead being obedient.
That's right.
Amen.
Good place to be.
Then maybe drop dead knowing that I was disobedient.
That's right.
So I would rather drop dead being obedient doing that than being disobedient to what God has called me to do. And I can only do what God calls me to do.
That's right.
I can't do what other people are doing. I'm not supposed to do everything other people are doing, nor are they supposed to be doing everything that I'm doing. But we're supposed to all be obedient and do what God has called each of us to do.
Yeah, every moment, what it might be, ready in season and out of season, do what he tells us to do. If he tells you to say something to somebody, well, just go over and do it real in love and watch and see what God will do with it. You know, I tell people all the time about, you know, I just have a heart for the Vietnam veterans and how they were mistreated when they came back. And every time I see one in the grocery store or gas station and they got a hat on, I always go up to them and thank them for serving. I said, did you know that God really loves you? And I've done this several times, and the guys start crying.
That's right.
Because no one's ever told them that.
That's right.
And so that word, well, where did that word come from that came from me? It came from the Lord. Go read 1 John. Love's mentioned so many times
so
in that chapter
times.
About how we should love one another. And we need to love the unbelievers especially, and those that may be ugly when we think they might be ugly. But see, God knows their heart, and he wants them all to come no matter what they've been going through or anything. The miracles are there. He's a miracle-working God. And so we have to remember that. And the word is the most important thing that we can give them is the word. Not my opinion, what I think, but what the word of God says. And so that's what God says. He sent his word and healed them. Well, they can get healed physically, but also can heal their mental state and also can heal their heart enough to accept Jesus as their Lord and believe the Bible what it says, that he's the only way. He's the only way into the kingdom of God. There's no other way. People try to tell you that, but he made it quite clear. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, no one cometh to the Father except by me. So we got to give that to the people. That's his word. Hallelujah, right, Pastor Donald?
That's right.
It's his word.
That's right.
It's his word. I'm reminded of when in Luke chapter 4, I think, when Jesus was in the synagogue and they were finishing reading the Torah portions and all that. And remember that day? He stood up and they gave him the Torah, and he opened it up and read out of Isaiah, I think it was. Yeah, about the Jubilee. And he said, this day is this scripture, or this word, in other words, fulfilled in your ears. That he was going to go out and proclaim what? Victory to the broken down, broken hearted and all that. I'm just going to read that. It's in chapter 4, I think, verse 18. Yeah. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the broken hearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And he said, this day is fulfilled in your ears. And so, you know, we have people that go to church, but they never talk to anybody about the Lord. I wonder if they've ever led anybody to the Lord at all. Have they ever prayed with someone and led them to the Lord? No, they just keep hearing. They have itching ears. They want to hear something new all the time, but they don't do anything else. But see, God wants you, the primary thing is to what? To share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And ask him, did you know that God loves you and he has a plan for your life? Do you believe that? And see what they say. If they say yes, and then you'd say, well, how do you know that? And hopefully they'll talk about Christ. If not, well, then you can share the gospel with them. So it's amazing when we think about simple things that we can do to just show people the love of God and to let them know that we're really interested in their eternity. The important thing is to share their eternity. That black boy I shared with back years ago when he was 13 or 14, I was talking about his eternity. I said, you want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell and be there for eternity? You know, I told him, I said, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. What do you want? Well, think about it. Eternity, it's not going to be, he says, you might live to be 90 years old, but that's not very long. But if you die in Yeshua, you're going to live for eternity. And that's what convinced, he says, no kidding. I says, yeah, you will live with God for eternity. And that's what changed his heart. That's all you have to do is ask.
So if anyone is listening now and they've never asked Jesus to come into their heart,
that's right,
and said that prayer, you can pray with them right now, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
And they can make that confession, open their mouth and invite, ask Jesus to come into their heart and speak it with that heart faith that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And come and be born again. Mm-hmm. And then when they're born from above, and that's being born, that means they're going to go to heaven. They'll be with the Lord forever and ever. Forever, you know, forever is a long time. You know, like you said, if somebody lives to be 90, they're really old.
That's right.
Really old. So, but most, a lot of people don't live to be 90.
That's right.
Some people don't live to be 40, Pastor
Gene. That's right.
And so some people don't even live to be 20, you know. That's why we need to get them when they're little. We need to train up a child when they're young, and then they won't depart from the Lord, because God's word says that. We got to believe what his word says about our family and our children and our relatives and the people that we love and
That's
we talk
right.
to all the time, that God's word's not going to return void. But if they would to know for what eternity is, eternity, how many years is eternity? It's forever and ever. There's no end to eternity. It's the largest number you can ever, there's no number that big.
That's right.
God doesn't have an end of a number.
Nope.
You know, the zeros go on and on and on and on.
It's infinity.
And on and on. It's infinity forever and ever. Forever and ever. Olam,
right.
That means Olam means forever. Forever. Not
so let's
just
do this.
90 years.
Let's do this. If there's somebody listening today, mm-hmm. and you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, even if you're backslidden,
right.
away from the Lord.
Maybe you'll come back.
Maybe we
return.
Said something here today that quickened you. If you will just pray this prayer with me and ask Jesus to come back into your life,
yeah.
he'll forgive you of all the things that you've done since you made that decision before, if you've never made it before, and he can change your life. Just pray
and
this.
And you'll know that
That's
you'll
right.
know that you're going, that you will be with him forever in heaven.
That's right. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for everyone that's listening right now that wants to be born again.
Thank you.
We just ask them, as we share this, we ask you that are listening would want to receive that, to speak this out loud, saying, Lord, I know that you said if I will confess with my mouth
yes.
that you are my Lord and shall believe that you died and rose from the grave for me, that I shall be saved. And so I'm asking you right now, with my heart faith, I'm speaking to you, and I believe unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so I'm doing that right now. I'm declaring you to be Lord of my life, and I'm going to change today and follow you in everything that I do. And so as I just prayed that simple prayer, I
Jesus,
know now
come into my life.
That Jesus, we ask you with
into
them as well, to come into their hearts and change their lives. And so
yes.
when they do that, they shall be born again. They're born from above, they can start all over again. The old things are passed away, and they
yes.
become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you for everyone that might have prayed that today. We bless them, and Lord, let them get into a good Bible church. Let them get a Bible, begin to read your word, and Lord, we
yes.
thank you that there will be a change in their heart, and they'll grow up and mature in the things of you and not of the things in the world. And we ask all this in Yeshua's mighty name, and we just say amen with them.
And the Bible says that they'll know that they're saved.
That's right. They'll know that they know that they're saved. That's right. So what did Jesus come for?
To
save the lost.
The world, to save the lost.
That's what he came for.
To save the Jew and the Gentile.
That's it. Anybody. He came for that purpose. But we know he came to the Jews to start with, and then, of course, he wanted all the Gentiles to come as well. And so we see those coming in now in the book of Acts. All over where Paul and the apostles went. Thousands of Gentiles came into the body of Christ.
And they still are coming in.
And they're still
coming. People still, children that's, still being born
that's right.
all the time. And so we always need to be sharing the gospel.
That's
so,
right.
You know, get out there and share the gospel share and read your Bible. Read your Bible out loud. Amen.
And it doesn't have to be some fancy prayer with them. Just pray out of your heart with them, and they can believe and receive it. And the main thing is we have to say what? We must believe. Only believe.
Only
buying the lies of the devil. You know, like we just read there in Mark about the devil comes and steals the word away right away. We bind the works of the devil and the people's going to come into the kingdom of God.
God wants to give us abundant life.
Absolutely. And more abundantly.
And more abundantly.
That's right.
John 10:10.
That's
look,
right.
Look at that scripture. Look that scripture up. And look up that scripture in John 10:10. Read the book of John. Start reading your Bible. Get a King James Bible. They're not that expensive. And or you can read, you know, you can even read online, you know.
Sure.
Everybody has a telephone and you can get a free Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You can download a free Bible online. You can start reading your Bible right
That's
there
right.
On your telephone.
Yeah.
And everybody's got a smartphone, it seems like, Pastor Gene. Even That's little kids have them.
Maybe they're too smart for their own good, right?
Yeah, well, maybe they can be used for something good.
But I'm thinking about Peter now. The Lord just put Peter on my heart. Remember the things he said, and Jesus said, the devil's desire to sift you. What do they do when they sifted wheat and all that? It separates, and the dust and this hulk and all that blows around, and that's nothing. But the seed is what counts. And what did he tell him? He said, when you're converted, you're going to strengthen your brethren. Isn't that incredible? So what did he mean? He meant when you come to me truly and been converted in your heart, then you will encourage your brother.
You'll help somebody else out.
You'll help somebody else. That's what it's all about. So Peter had to go through the same thing. And God, think about it, the devil wants to sift all of us, but God will not allow that to happen. If we come to him, he will not allow us to be sifted if we stay with the Lord. Amen.
So we should all be discipled, and then we should be discipling others.
That's right.
Well, praise God. Well,
That's
this
right.
is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be on this radio broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, you can give us a call. We could send you some information. We do have services here in Stuart, Florida. Every Friday night at 7 p.m.
And Shabbat, yep.
Shabbat, and on Sunday at 11 a.m. And this radio broadcast goes out every Saturday, Lord willing, at 12 noon till 1 o'clock. So if you're just catching part of it, you can catch us next week, or you can go back onto WCNO.com and you can listen to this broadcast and many others that we have done in the past. Just go to their guide and Saturday and look at 12 noon for Raising the Standard with Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. And we're just blessed to be here to be able to serve anyone. So give us a call. We pray for you. And we do thank the Lord for everyone who prays for us. And we do thank everyone who had a part of the Bible Reading Marathon.
Hallelujah. If you'd like a copy of what we're talking about today, all we ask for is a love offering. And you can make it out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's Stuart, Florida. And our zip there is 34995. So we're on this program every week, and we have been for 20 plus years to raise the standard in the body of Christ. So many things are going the wrong way. We want His standard to be the thing that we look at more so than anything else. We want to be standing on that rock when the storms of life
Amen.
And things come, not on sinking sand. So God wants you all to be in the same place. So Lord, we just release everyone that heard today. We ask you to open their hearts to receive receive your holy word that's able to change them. Receive the engrafted word of God that's able to save their souls. We thank you for that. We release it to them, those that listen, and let them do those things that you want them to do. We thank you for turn from their wicked ways and see what the Bible has to say about it, and they can go on and be a faithful citizen and active in the kingdom of God. So we release it to them. We thank you for it in Yeshua's name. So as we close the program, what do we say, Pastor Dunn? I tell you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.
Thank you.